program, but my kids are spending the night at my dad's house, so I was like, my house is quiet. I'm like, it's so nice to have time to myself.
Just take it while you can.
Heck yeah.
Hey guys.
Hi Karen.
Hello.
I will be with you in just a minute. So ready to rock and roll. Thanks for joining.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, just give me one sec, sorry.
No worries. I'm gonna say hi to my puppy. It's really cute.
Yeah. Oh, hi puppy.
Just run away, come back. You know, come on. No way. I'm gonna make a lie.
Don't try.
She's really cute. We just got her. She's 10 months old. Well,
that's
not,
right.
I've had her like 5 months now, but she's so sweet. She's a good dog, huh? My friend. Your dog's like 2 or 3 now, right?
She's gonna be 4 in November.
4. Oh.
Still a goofy goober.
Yeah. I think the breed, right? She's like border collie mix, correct?
Lab mix. We know her mom was a yellow lab, and we do not know what else. But yeah, border collie has come up a bunch. Yeah. People have suggested that.
For sure. Yeah, June's mostly an Australian cattle dog. And I did not know prior to getting those breeds how, I mean, I knew they were crazy, but she's we've had to send her to school twice a week, pretty much just so she like has
stimulation.
Yeah, exactly. And they take her on walks and hikes, and it's really a great place.
Yeah.
But she also is like really oddly attached. Like we were trying to crate train her to get her to sleep in the crate. But if she's not like attached to my husband, Matt, or I, like all night, she'll whine and cry. Oh, it's really.
I mean, that's yeah. It sounds actually like yeah. Like eventually, get a little old. Like, come on, bud.
Yeah, 10 months. I was like, all right. Does your dog sleep in bed with you?
No, she used to, and then we taught her. We did some crate training, and now she doesn't have a crate, but she has her bed on the floor, and it's really sad because we're like, "You want to come hang out with us?" And she's just like, "No," and goes to her bed.
Can she do stands like place and stuff like that? Like, does she do well with that kind of stuff, or does she just know that's her spot?
She knows that's her spot.
That's cool.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
And so I think we take too much of the bed for her now.
She's like, I need my own sleep space.
Although I have brought her to like other random places, and she will snuggle up like against me, and like, you know, or she'll sleep like touching me.
Mm-hmm. Like if you guys travel overnight somewhere, she will.
Yeah, and I think that's because she's like trying to like, she wants to know if I like move around, if I move in the night or something.
Absolutely.
Even if I'm in like a different room of the house, like when Rebecca or someone or am I sick, we like we'll sleep in a different separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she'll.
She'll come by.
Yeah, she'll just, yeah, she'll snuggle up.
Aww.
But otherwise, her own bed, she's like, when we're in the regular situation, she's like, no,
I'm gonna do my own thing. I need my space.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. What are you doing? You working a lot at the fair this week?
Yep. Whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So there for a milk bar, two of the other things, and I had to go on Wednesday to help, you know, probably drop some stuff off.
Okay.
And then I had to go to Taste New York store and do a closing shift.
I feel like you get dragged into that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That stinks.
All right. Now I'm ready. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
There you are. Good. How's it going with you?
Good, good.
Good. I just got my puppy out of the truck.
Nice.
He's not a puppy anymore. I don't know where he went. He's almost 3. His birthday's
coming. They're always puppies.
Yeah. But he doesn't want to get out of the truck sometimes. He's like, nope, stay in here. This is great.
I get to ride around, go for a plate.
It's just his like second home is that pickup truck.
Aww. What kind of dog is it?
He's like a boxer, Australian cattle dog mix, and then 25% everything else. So
that's cool. That's awesome.
Kind of a super mutt, everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I have someone coming on right before 4:30 today, which doesn't usually ever happen. Usually we are super lax, which that's actually usually plenty of time to 4:30. But just to be aware, we'll have to close it at right before 4:30.
All right. I can speed run through all of our September events that are coming up.
Okay.
Great.
And then Megan. And then mm-hmm. we'll definitely chat. And you got stuff too. We'll talk about
class. Yeah, absolutely. And I can... Mine's pretty much just promoting the parenting program that we offer. And it won't take very long for me to talk about the program and what it requires and things like that. So,
great. And, yep. And anger management.
You want to do anger management? I just prepared. I'll briefly share that we have anger management.
Got
I
know
last time I was here.
We have our teen anger management class coming up as well, right?
We do have a teen-based anger mm-hmm. management class as well. Yeah. So okay. I'm going to talk primarily about the parenting, and then I'll finish up with saying we also have anger management and the teen-based anger management coming up as well.
All right. So we're going to launch right into it. And we are on. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. It's going down. Happy Monday, people.
This is a journey.
Monday.
It's the birthday of Terminator X, thus the public enemy, to introduce today's Monday afternoon show. But we're going to go right now to Kevin Connolly. We're going to Cornell Cooperative Extension. We're going to do our Monday. We're going to do our Monday third. Let's see. What is it? The fourth Monday? Guys, help me out here. Devin, welcome to the Monday afternoon show. We are at the fourth Monday of the month. Happy August, people. Devin Connolly is going to tell us about what's going on the month ahead at Cornell Cooperative Extension. And we also have Megan Gardner. She's going to talk about a parenting class, also a little bit about anger management class, and other good stuff that I'm sure will come up. So welcome to the show to both of you. Happy Monday.
So happy to be here again, Kieran. Thanks for having us.
All right. So glad to have you. It's so funny. I get to say happy Monday to everyone, and usually people are like, But it's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful week again. We've had blessed weather. I'm on a painting job right now, and it's just like the primo weather for painting. Just nice, not too hot, not rainy. Not too cool, not too dewy. It's just, if you're going to be painting it on a ladder, this is the weather you want to do it in.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so what do we got going on, Devin?
All right. I mean, I can't believe September is basically here already, end of the summer. First thing I just want to point out actually is the last part of August, I guess very early September, is we'll be at the Columbia County Fair. That starts on Wednesday. It's in Chatham. And that'll be running from Wednesday to September 1st. And we'll be there in Columbia Hall. We'll have the milk bar going. We'll have our Think Differently Safe Space, which is a space for neurodivergent youth and adults who need a calm down area. I think Megan can probably touch upon that a little bit better than I can. So I don't want to get into it. But yeah, Master Gardeners will be there. There'll be the, all the 4-H projects being displayed in all the animal shows, so we would love to see anyone there. Our offices will be closed during this time, so if you need to reach us, email is the best way.
Devin, can I ask you, do you think that this fair is potentially one of your biggest events of the year? It's just that the work that you do over there at Cornell Cooperative Extension is so related to the Columbia Fair sort of historical context of everything. So I'm just wondering if you probably have a long time connection with that fair, and is it kind of a big deal for you guys?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a fantastic fair, and this and the Greene County Youth Fair are both the times where we have to bring in our, every single program in the association. Usually we have events, we'll have like a Maple Fest or something, and that's more environmental awareness and agriculture based. And we bring in other programs as well, but this is where like each program sort of gets like, a strong footing in that event. Awesome. And it's a really cool way to see the intersection of how all these things like play together.
Okay. Columbia County Fair, folks, you heard it coming up. Chatham, Columbia County, last Chatham Fair. Go ahead.
All right. And then next, On September 6th, that's a Saturday, 10 to 12 p.m., we will have a class by our Master Gardener volunteers. It's called Garlic, the Stinking Rose, Origins, Lore, and Biology. In case anyone out there doesn't know, garlic has been domesticated for 5,000 years. And, you know, now a staple in basically so much cooking. In this class, we'll explore its origins, history, its life cycle. We'll talk about how breeders all over the world have developed hundreds of different varieties. And as part of this program, we'll be able to taste four grown in our very own demonstration gardens in Hudson.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And this is, this is also at the Extension Education Center in Hudson. So September 6th. And if you're interested in this class or any other ones, always remember you sign up at cceclumbiagreen.org/events. All right, and then next on, well, these two things sort of play into each other. On September 12th, we have a deadline for our Master Gardener volunteer training applications. If you have thought about becoming a Master Gardener volunteer, you must get your application in by that Friday. If you want to know a little bit more about what it means to be a Master Gardener volunteer, there is a last-minute info session for prospective applicants. That'll be online by Zoom, September 10th. It's a Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. If you're curious or thinking about applying for this class, you can join us for this, you know, this virtual info section. You know, you can just show up. This is no commitment. Yeah. And again, easily accessible online.
You got that right.
Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, we have our Wildlife Enhancement Woodland Walk at the Siusla Model Forest. That'll be on Saturday, September 13th at the Siusla Model Forest. It's across the street from our office, the Agroforestry Resource Center in ACRA. Again, that's Saturday, September 13th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. You can join us for this woodland walk. You can explore options for improving wildlife habitats in your woods. These enhancements can be anything that improves the habitat. And, you know, having various types of habitats in your forest can increase biodiversity and the overall forest health. So, yeah, if you can make it, if you have woods or, you know, maintain a wood or just curious in general, this is a great class. And again, you get to walk around the beautiful Siusla Model Forest as well.
That sounds lovely.
And then next, on September 17th, you can join our master food preserver, Becky Palmatier, for pickling in a water bath canner. This class will be held on Wednesday, September 17th. So later in the evening, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Extension Education Center in Hudson. She'll teach us how to pickle vegetables and use a water bath canner. Participants will learn how to safely preserve their vegetable bounty by pickling and canning in a water bath. This is hands-on, which is awesome. It's an educational experience where participants will learn by doing, and then you get to leave with a jar of pickled vegetables, which is always really fun. I actually don't know how to do this. I was always sort of scared, so I'm actually potentially might be one of the people that show up to this.
It's awesome. It's awesome, Dev. I went to one at Hawthorne Valley, and it's cool because you could put so many different things in the pickling jars. Mm-hmm. It's not just pickles. Like, you could pickle so many different things and get creative and do different ratios and mixtures of different stuff. And it's just a whole fun community event.
Pickling is always something delicious.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on. I'm sorry, everyone, I'm speed running this. Still want to get time for Megan in here. September 18th, we have Growing Great Garlic, another garlic class. This will actually be taught by the Crystal Stewart Cortins from Eastern New York Commercial Horticultural Vegetable Specialist. So instead of the history, this is more about, you know, getting ready your garlic for this fall. Whether you're a home gardener or farmer, you can join us for this presentation. So yeah, actually, if you take the other class, take this one next and actually learn how to, like, you know, the history into, like, actually making it. This will be held at the Extension Education Center in Hudson. And also, this is a accessible class, so yeah, feel free to sign up. And then after that, we actually have another gardening thing. We have it called Fall Gardening Day. Don't let the name mislead you, because it's actually 2 days. The first one is September 20th. That's a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1. That will be in APRA. You can join us. It's a free community celebration filled with fall-inspired activities, food, and hands-on fun. So mini garden talks and demos, seasonal craft stations for kids and adults, book sale, delicious, and, you know, there will be food, fall bulbs and mums available by donation. And then, of course, the master gardeners themselves will be there for, you know, Q&As. And then we will be repeating this on September 27th, again, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that'll be at our location in Hudson that day. So we're just trying to hit both counties each week.
All right, Green and Columbia, getting them both. Nice work.
Yeah. Just a couple more. The Teen Anger Management two-part series will be Tuesday, September 23rd, 5 to 6 p.m., or starting that day, I have to say. Megan will, again, be able to touch in a lot more about that, so I want to say anything there. Then after that, on September 25th, Agroforestry Field Day at Arthur's Point Farm. Join us for an afternoon in Ghent. The field day will include an introduction to the nursery and a tour of the orchard. During the day, we'll see multiple examples of different agroforestry systems and species and the goals and decision planning that went into these systems. You'll learn about what resources are available, how farming is comparable to agroforestry systems, and you will get a chance to ask any questions you have about the farm's practices. So, again, that will be Thursday, September 25th at Arthur Point's Farm in Ghent.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
And then, let's see here. I think I just have one more here. Minimizing Deer Impacts on Forests will be held on Saturday, September 27th, 10 a.m. to 12. Join us for a walk at the Frost Valley Model Forest. That's in Claryville, New York. With deer overbrowsing preferred native tree seedlings, they are widely seen as the top reason for a decrease in, you know, tree species diversity and a decline in forest regeneration. In this class, we'll be able to discuss management options, including fencing, tree tubes, natural deterrents, slash walls, and more. All right. I think I got them all in, Kieran.
What's that?
I think I got them all.
Oh, got them all. Wait.
Nope. No, sorry. I forgot one. We have a composting made EDC class. I love this title, Layering for Success.
Love it.
So that'll be Sunday, September 28th. This will be at the Thomas Cole National Historic Site. And this will be with some master gardeners, three of them, and our master gardener coordinator. So again, September 28th, hang out with the master gardeners, learn about composting, what goes in, what not to go in. I should probably take this because I never know what should go into my compost, but haven't messed it up too bad yet.
Yeah. As long as you don't get the big fat rats going after your chicken bones or something like that, that's the important thing. Yeah. But composting is super important, Devin. I love that that's coming up. This is all about soil fertility, building nutrients. It's the invisible forces, the invisible nutrients that actually go into the soil that feed us. It's one thing to grow a tomato, but if it's not in really good, healthy soil that was consciously developed, tomatoes just not as good, as you probably know. So, anything else, Devin?
Not for me, but I know Megan wanted to talk more about her, you know, at-home parenting classes and maybe a little bit about the teen anger management class we have coming up.
All right, let's hear about it. Megan Gardner, so glad to have you back on the Monday afternoon show. Welcome, welcome, and tell us all about what you got going on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So, I'm here to primarily last time that I was on, I talked about how we offer anger management series. But today, one of the things that I wanted to promote is something that is free and offered to all residents of both Columbia and Greene counties. So we run at Cordell Cooperative Extension within the Family and Consumer Sciences Department. We have what's called the Parenting with Confidence program. It's actually a free in-home parenting program that's offered to all caregivers of Columbia and Greene County. And what that means by caregiver is anyone who's providing care for a child. It could be a sibling who's babysitting. It could be a parent, a grandparent who's parenting the second time around, a foster parent, anyone that is actively engaging on a regular basis with a child, and providing caregiving skills to them. So what the program is, again, Again, it's free. It's up to 10 parenting skills classes where an educator will actually go into the home with the family and work directly with them and the child to talk about a wide range of topics. And the one of the really great parts about this program is it's catered specifically to the family. So the family actually gets to choose through the topics that we have on what they feel would be best for their family. It covers anything from infant caregiver skills, child development, discipline, communication, internet safety. We all have almost 50 different topics that families can choose from. And then we as educators cater the lessons specifically to their family and what those needs are. And again, there's no requirements for the program. I literally need people's address, their names, and the ages of their children. There's no financial stipulations or anything of that regard. It is generally free to anyone. If people are not comfortable with coming in home, they're more than welcome to come to both of our educational campuses and participate in the classes. But again, this is something that is heavily utilized in the community. The program has been around for almost a decade, and we find new ways to kind of interact and engage with the community to offer these types of programs. So if someone was to want to utilize this program and have an educator come to the house and work with them and their family, they would just have to call our one of our educational centers and ask for myself and ask for Megan, and I would get them enrolled and signed up with the program. It's catered to their schedule, so you can meet on a weekly, bi-weekly, or even monthly basis. I have clients that choose to meet once a month as a maintenance, and you can follow them for almost up to a year and be able to work with them in that regard. So again, that was one of the main things that I wanted to touch on today, is that I feel that the resource is not well known in the two counties. That's not often that you can get a free educator to come into your home and be able to work one-on-one with you and your family and assess the needs specifically geared towards your children. And again, it's also geared as more of a support program that is offered to parents. And one of the things that I've noticed when we were creating these programs was that there's a lot of support out there for children. But as a parent, a lot of times I feel like we kind of get pushed to the side, and there's a lot of engagement for children within the community. But this program is specifically to support parents and caregivers within Columbia and Greene County as well.
That's awesome, Megan. This sounds so valuable. Mm-hmm. Can I ask a sort of off, you know, sort of a maybe sensitive question? I have a guest coming on actually in a bit, and we're going to talk about some Columbia County sanctuary issues. And could you let people know, because you are not affiliated with any like state agencies, and if you have parents or families that are maybe in compromised situation or experiencing poverty, or immigrant groups or whatever they may be, talk about just the non-judgmental, non-state association affiliation, like what kind of safety, like you're coming in really to help and not to like... You get where I'm getting at here?
Like, absolutely. Okay. You're not, you know, this is not, I've been asked this question multiple times, right? So we are educators that work for Cornell Cooperative Extension. We are a not-for-profit. Our goal is to provide education and support, right? It is challenging, and I am very transparent with my clients, is that when we do go into the homes, there are situations where, obviously, if I was to witness something, that I have to report it. I've been doing this job for a decade, and I have one time ever in my hundreds of clients that I've had to make a report, right? And that's just something that I use to kind of show how often I'm having engagement, how often I'm having interactions. And even the one time that I did have to make a mandated call, it was not my client. It was actually something that I was witnessing in an apartment complex, right?
Okay. So it was actually something different, and it must have been pretty bad for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. The whole point of this program is we are reducing the need for intervention, right? Mm-hmm. So I tell parents, we go in, our goal is prevention, right? We are providing the education to prevent abuse from occurring. So parents tell me all the time, they disclose to me, I've spanked my child, I've yelled at my child, I've threatened, I feel really terrible about the choices that I made. And we come from an extremely non-judgmental place.
Right.
And so my goal is to, absolutely, we've made mistakes. And now that parent, most of the time when I'm coming into the home at this point, they're wanting to change, right? They're wanting that support, and they know that this is what we need to do to grow. And that is our absolute goal, is to provide support to the family.
That's 100%. Awesome.
And from a nudge, and being a parent, until you've experienced it, is one of the most challenging. Honestly, it's one of the most challenging time-consuming, overwhelming, overstimulating jobs that anyone could ever perform, yeah, right?
It's so true.
You know, and I, you know, again, when we talk about coming, I know I have limited time, this will be the last thing I say, but when we talk about coming from a non-judgmental and biased perspective is one of the things that I really train my educators on. The one things that we talk about is no situation is the same. Yeah. Right? Someone could have 5 children, but have the support of grandparents and a community and financial support. And someone could have 2 children and be a single mom struggling financially. And they're both completely different scenarios that are both differently challenging in their own unique way. Right? Yeah. So my goal is not to go in and see a family and compare them to others or what our standard is, right? Our goal is to go in and go, what does this family need from us and how can we help them? That's always my goal, even with anger management, right? We run anger management programs, which we have a new series starting in October. Same with the adolescent teen anger management. We do 2-part series. That's going to be something that we take that approach within every aspect of CCE, even the non-parenting anger management programs. I know that all the other programs, agroforestry, natural resources, master gardeners, 4-H, inclusivity and support and growth is really our main goal. Absolutely.
Let me ask you something about anger management, because I've always appreciated the fact of you doing these classes. Mm-hmm. You have the teenage ones coming up.
Yep.
How do you get an angry teenager to agree to go to anger management class? How do you do it? Besides court mandated. That doesn't count.
I was going to say, a lot of them are court ordered or required. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them are required, maybe not by their parents. Right. Like, you know, I had a parent that was using it as an incentive. If you do anger management, then I'll sign you up for baseball. I don't agree with those tactics as a parent educator. I get a lot of like parents doing bribery or court ordered. Yeah. Some do. Right. Like we offer it. So if a child is enrolled in 4-H, they're more than welcome to come for free. Right. There are some kids that voluntarily will come to the program, but I will say that a lot of them are court ordered or required to do so.
Let me ask
you. That's not difficult. That was a wonderful question because it's a really challenging age. You can't get them to go to school. You know, like it's hard.
You can't get them to wake up in the morning.
Yeah. So let alone to go to a
7 a.m. Why?
Yeah.
I get the sense that what you're doing is probably so rich, and I'll bet you that a lot of those kids coming out after the end, whether they admit it or not, are coming out with like serious tools, serious different outlooks on life. Have you like witnessed, obviously you wouldn't be still doing this if you hadn't mm-hmm. witnessed like a certain measure of success and appreciation from the kids?
Yeah, you know, I do. It's not as glamorous as you would think. Okay. A lot of times I'll get like that wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
That's what I'll take it. That's wonderful. In a previous career worked for a year as a high school social worker, and if they actually admit something's not that bad, that's a huge win in my book. And like, I think once they get there, we do a lot of like games that it's not just sitting there for 2 hours in a lecture. There's a lot of engagement and games and ways that we can kind of, I don't want to say, destigmatize what they're going through, right? To be able to break it down and go, this is normal. Everyone experiences these emotions. Now let's talk about it. Because I think that anger, we've talked about this one before with anger management, is there's a lot of stigma associated around that, around anger management. And I'm not an angry person, or I don't have the problem. My mom does, right? So I think that once we can break through that barrier, they're a little bit more open to talking about it. And especially when parents don't always want to hear this, but a lot of times adolescents, what they're angry about is actually justified. Right. When we talk about like, you're allowed to be angry. And even if they tell me something and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, I'd be angry too. They start to go, oh, like they want to be heard and they want to feel seen. And when we're able to provide that for them, they're more open then to learn about the curriculum. Right.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, I feel for the teenagers these days.
Me too.
Because if they're angry, there's that old saying, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Just the stuff we expect from our teenagers in this world. It's
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, keep up the great work, Megan Gardner. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me come on and talk about our programs as well. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you to Devin Connolly. Always appreciate having you on.
Always wonderful to be here, Kieran.
All right. We're going to go out with a little bit of Clash, and then we're going to David Quintisueca, if I'm saying that right. And we're going to talk about some Columbia County Sanctuary Movement issues, as well as Know Your Rights. We'll get into the details in just a few here. So take care, folks, and see you next month.
Thank you.
Bye, Kieran.
All right, take care. All right, we'll be right back with David, folks. Hang on. Love it, rock and roll. All right, there's Janie Jones going out with the Clash, as we always do, per request of Devin Connolly from Columbia County. Cornell Cooperative Extension. So we are now just a couple minutes late. So sorry, my guest here, David, tell me how you say it, David Quintisueca. How badly am I butchering it, David?
David or David, I always say whatever is said with love. So, and it's Quintisueca. Then I don't.
Quintisueca. So I was pretty way off. I tried.
It's all right. I appreciate the effort always.
It's funny. I got a bagel the other day. You know, my name's Kieran. Mm-hmm. And 5 minutes later, it comes out, and the young girl, it's early in the morning, but she goes, Karen? And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, it's okay. I just came to accept that sometimes I'm just people call me Karen all the time. I'm used to it, and I'm okay with just being a Karen sometimes. She's like, you're not a Karen. I know Karen. It's not. I was like, it's fine. So we both go through that, the name thing, you probably maybe more than I. But
you got that connection.
Say it one more time. Quintisueca.
Quintisueca.
Quintisueca. That's a beautiful name.
There you
go. Quintisueca. So, David, welcome to the Monday afternoon show. Thanks for joining. Tell us what's going on in your world.
Yeah, happy to be here. And I'm here just to speak a little bit more about the work that I'm doing with Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. If you haven't heard about it, we are an immigrant rights organization based out of Hudson, with offices in Albany as well, and we serve our immigrant community, and we have membership throughout a bunch of counties. What I mean by a member is any immigrant who has been impacted by this unjust and unfair immigration system, and we have membership in Columbia County, of course, but we also have members in Greene County, Albany County, Upper Dutchess County, and growing. We're just definitely needed throughout the region, in the Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, and we're happy to expand and work with allied organizations in the areas as well to promote the safeguarding and the benefits that come with having an immigrant community in your area.
So you guys came on the scene a while ago. I remember, I'm thinking, this is almost like 10 years ago now, or maybe less. But there was an incident in Hudson where people kind of came to the rescue of some folks that had their rights being violated, I believe, by some ICE agents. There was a fellow, an attorney named Brian. I forget his last name. Is he still working with you guys? Brian something or other?
You're correct in saying that we've been here for a while. We're actually going to celebrate our 10th anniversary in 2026.
Right. Happy 10th, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It just means we've been here, and the work that we need to do and continue doing is completely essential. But in reference to the event you're talking about, it was an ICE raid that happened at a business in Hudson. And the person you're talking about is Brian McCormack. He's not an attorney, but he is actually one of our co-executive directors. And back then he was working on a more volunteer capacity, just trying to get some just trying to safeguard our immigrant community. So yeah, ICE raids were happening beginning in 2016, and Columbia County Sanctuary Movement was created in response to those by some of our fellow immigrant community members. Actually, our founders are immigrants themselves. Two of them, at least, are immigrants themselves who have just been having conversations with the community and decided that something needs to be done. So out of those conversations sparked a rapid response movement, very similar to what I'm sure people have been seeing online now of allies just heading to areas where ICE is confirmed to be at. And just making sure that they're working within the parameters that they're supposed to be working with, which usually is not the case. They should be presenting warrants. They are not doing that. So one of the first things that Columbia County Sanctuary did was start the rapid response where allies just show up and try to just make sure that ICE isn't harassing anybody. And most of the times ICE will leave the area because they're not working in the ways that they're supposed to. So that rapid response movement was created in 2016, and has grown, and it's still around, and we're still doing that kind of work along with a bunch of other programs and services that we're providing to the immigrant community to this day. We've just evolved so much, and we've now serve our community in multiple ways. Like, we have an amazing food program called Comida para la Gente, which definitely works to provide food and groceries to over 70 families in the area, over three counties. And we have a legal program that helps people with things from getting an appointment with an ICE check-in, or also any post-raid development, any post-raid that's absolutely needed. And we do cultural events as well now, too. We just had an amazing Caribbean festival up in Albany, and we have a couple of Latinx festival events happening next month and in October. So really looking forward to those. So we're all over the place, and we're here, and we're still going to keep being here, providing the work that we need to do for our communities.
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, Brian McCormick was great. I've been working since the 1990s. I'm old school. In agriculture in Columbia County, landscaping, stone masonry, then in construction, carpentry, and many of the trades. And I've come across so many folks that I've worked with, coworkers of mine, friends of mine, you know, neighbors, whoever, that just like, this is a real issue. And it was an issue 10 years ago when they were doing these raids. And I feel like now it's like on hyperspeed right now with the stories we're seeing. Over here in Great Barrington, we had a recent event about a month ago or so, and these two women who have like a design company, and there's just some landscapers out in the back. They were just like mowing the lawn, and then these guys like pulled up in masks, and these two women, you know, totally didn't have to, totally didn't need to get out of their building. They started filming these ICE agents. It went online. It was a big video, and they were speaking up. They were directly confronting. They were videoing. They were asking to see warrants. They let an individual into their business inside and prevented the ICE agents from kidnapping the second one. Turns out they were looking for somebody totally different, somebody who had like a DUI or something, and these guys are just like mowing the lawn. So we're seeing this kind of thing over and over again. I feel like, how do you keep up with it? And just for, I'll let you answer that first, then I had a strategic question for you.
Yeah, we're seeing it too. And like I mentioned earlier, we have a rapid response network with an emergency phone number that we have our membership contact when they suspect ICE is in the area. That goes with, we're making sure our membership is safe by providing them with Know Your Rights trainings. And that's basically just letting them know that, you know, regardless of your status, legal status, you are an individual who deserves to be treated with respect. We all have human rights. So, you know, it's small things like don't open the door if you don't know who's at it. And I can't get into specifics about it, but we definitely amplify our members knowing their rights. And we also have You mentioned a business too. We're working here. It's pretty local, and we're trying to expand it out to places like Great Barrington. But we do small business protocols as well, where we have small businesses. We have workshops where small businesses come in and get to learn what to do if an unlawful harassment were to happen in their workplace or like in their store. So that's not necessarily just ICE. It's just, you know, any type of harassment that happens. And, you know, we teach people the importance of privacy signs and such, you know, keeps their employees safe and also keeps their patrons safe. And we also have our members work with volunteers who are trained, especially in how this administration in 2025, our volunteer process is a very rigorous one where we ask our volunteers to provide references and provide resumes just so we know who they are. And, you know, they're completely trained in how to look out for warrants. If that's the case, if they're working with any membership, that is going to be affected in that capacity. But yeah, everyone is completely trained. And that's how we're trying to stay ahead of it, is just making sure everybody is educated, not just our membership, but also our allies and just folks just trying to go about their lives. Just know exactly what you need to know before you go out the door.
Yeah. I think also what you're doing, it seems to me, is also offering a way for people to not have as much fear. This fear, and it's such a powerful emotion, and I feel like the policies coming down from the top right now are meant to instill fear in certain groups and certain communities, and that's and it's also, you know, it's just a stupid thing, but I think it's also to like please a certain portion of the population we don't need to get into that are particularly anti-immigrant, you know, maybe racist and just have voted a certain way and want to see this type of thing happen. They want to see people suffer and be in fear. So what you're doing is these Know Your Rights. Can you tell us a little bit about how to contact you guys if people want to join a Know Your Rights training? How accessible is this for folks? Do you have any of that information in front of you?
What I can say is that we're working with WGAC to do a PSA, so that'll be going moving forward. Okay. So definitely that number will be out there. And yeah, definitely. And what I say is, if you're interested in learning more about rapid response, we definitely encourage people to sign up as volunteers at CCSM. That's on our main website, sanctuarycolumbiacounty.org. You can learn ways to get involved there. When you become a volunteer, you have the option to learn more about our rapid response. And if that's the case, we can move forward that way. And we invite you to trainings through that platform, essentially.
Okay. And not that you want to predict the future, but do you see more of this, these issues coming down? Like, we're talking, we're 7 months into, 8 months into this administration, and it's pretty bad right now. this idea of going after sanctuary cities, there's towns and cities across America who have pledged through their mayors and through their leadership to provide sanctuary and to stand up against these fascist policies. Do you see things potentially getting worse, David?
I can speak on for myself, actually, if that's appropriate, is that I say, like, I love the work that I'm doing with the sanctuary movement. I love before this job, I was a massage therapist, full-time massage therapist. Then in 2024, I kind of realized a bunch of things were happening in the world that I wasn't agreeing with. And I had already been a volunteer with CCSM for a long time now, and I decided to join staff because I felt like I needed to do something. So being on this side of the education of it all has been so benefiting, and I can see how people think that they're, you know, be pessimistic about everything. But the answer really is education. It's educating membership to know that they have rights. It's educating businesses to know that there's more that they can do instead of just stopping and staring. And it's educating people who want to just do something that, you know, like something like funding our organization is something that is extremely, extremely a positive approach to this effort, and or just donating their time as well, volunteering their time. So, yeah, it's getting scary, and I don't see anything getting any more easier moving forward, but Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is doing the work to keep making sure that our immigrants feel at home here. A lot of the policies that you mentioned earlier are you're absolutely correct. It's to instill fear. It's to get people to drive them out of their homes and to drive them out of this country, essentially. But that's not an option for a lot of people. And we're here just to make sure that people still find a way to go through their everyday lives and just get to work and just contribute back to their community. So yeah, I think that's my answer, is just as long as people continue staying educated, staying on top of things, and continue agitating and continue questioning why these things are happening, I think that that's the only way I could see a light at the end of this extremely long tunnel. And I think that that's possible.
I love it. I love it. I love the work. And it's an intimidating moment. Civil yeah. disobedience can be tough, especially when you're looking at different penalties and whatever. But, you know, the power of the people is very strong. And I heard a radio program earlier today on a totally different channel that shall remain unnamed. But it was this interesting history of the Erie Canal, specifically as it related to this, to slavery and the enslavement of African Americans, and then as it related to the fugitive slave law. And this woman had, like, she was deep diving into the history, and we won't get too into it now, but this one story of this man who had escaped slavery, made it to Northern New York, was working on the Erie Canal, actually then became a barrel maker for 10 years. He was a renowned barrel maker in his town, prominent African American. And then they changed the law and they started clamping down on fugitive slaves, enslaved people. So retroactively, he was liable for arrest, which they did. They arrested this man, brought him to the courthouse. 2,000 to 3,000 people showed up at the courthouse. These are white people in the late 1800s in upstate New York that were like, no, you can't do this. This is stupid. We fought the Civil War. We banned slavery this was right before the Civil War with the Fugitive Slave Act. But sorry, I got the dates wrong there. But, you know, like the power of the people would be like, you know, we banned this in New York State. We banned slavery. And they totally were overwhelmed. The power of the people, they were like, okay, we're just going to have to let this guy go. And history proves that those people were right. Okay, yes, they might have committed civil disobedience. They might have disobeyed laws and entered a courthouse unlawfully or whatever it may be. But, like, let's just take a look at the history. Like, what is the situation today? I'm not comparing immigration to slavery. This isn't apples and oranges here, people. It's just you have to look at your current historical context and be like, okay, who's on the right side of this? So anyway, I wanted to share that story with you, David, because I was very inspired.
Powerful. Yeah, I get it. Thank you.
So again, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, you're celebrating almost 10-year anniversary coming up pretty soon. Yeah. A resource for our community, also a resource for people who want to be allies and advocates for people who are being under fire in our communities, as we're seeing more and more. So I appreciate the work immensely, David. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I add one more quip?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So all the trainings that I've mentioned, the Know Your Rights trainings, small business protocols, volunteer opportunities, those trainings are really essential for our community. And they're also free of charge because we feel it's really important to make sure that people have that knowledge. That being said, though, we are completely donation driven and we look for individual unrestricted funds to be able to continue doing the work that we're doing. And I'm actually really excited to announce that we're in the middle of a Double Your Impact campaign. We got an anonymous donation that we're trying to match. So all donations from this week starting we started actually on August 18th and going all the way to September 1st. If you were to make a donation online, that donation is doubled. And we're trying to reach our goal of 250K by September 1st. So if people are so inclined to donate so we can continue doing this work, the website is sanctuarycolumbiacounty.org/donate. You'll also find ways to get involved on our website as well. And funding the movement is essential, and we want to continue to keep doing this work as long as we can.
David, can I ask, is a part of this funding due to legal fees?
So it's a portion of it, a lot of most of it definitely will go to helping provide families with support that they need, specifically families that are being impacted by relatives that have been detained or disappeared, kidnapped essentially. So yeah, and just making sure that we can continue providing these trainings for free, and just spreading the knowledge out there, spreading the word.
I think I might need some training because I'm like, if they come to my job site, because I hire people from all over all the time. We have friends, neighbors, whoever wants to show up at 7 a.m. with a paintbrush and ready to go, you're hired. And it just turns out that a lot of the folks I get are from different countries. And what up, Oaxaca? And I'm just like, man, is it like, I mean, I'm off in the boonies on some house behind the trees. I'm like, okay, I'm not on the radar. And I'm a little guy hiring a few guys, but like, and women. But it's like, it could happen. It could happen. Some neighbor sees someone with brown skin and rats out. Like, you never know. And I'm like, what would I do? And I'd like to think I'd put my body on the line, whatever. But man, these situations can be scary. So I think to know your rights, to know what you can do, to know what you legally can do, and to have the confidence and not to have fear. Because I'm, flight or fight. There, with me, there is no flight. So I'm going to be the guy. I'm probably going to get in trouble and then facing like 15 to 20, for some stupid thing. And I'm like, so just knowing your basic parameters of how to resist, how to stand up, how to do the right thing, how to be responsible, how to commit civil disobedience without like compromising the next 15 years of your life potentially. Because these guys aren't messing around, man. I have the sense that they're not messing around. And the prosecutorial branch of our culture is definitely on their side, it seems like. So I don't know. I think it's valuable training.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and we're here to keep giving it as long as we can, and we will continue moving forward. Yeah. So, yeah. Thank
All
you
right,
so much.
David. Kintiswaka. Wait, hold on. Kintiswaka.
Kiti Saka. You're good though.
Kitisaka, David Kitisaka of the
Appreciate it.
Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. Again, their website is sanctuarycolumbiacounty.org. They are doing a fund drive. They are raising funds for this work that they're doing. A nonprofit organization and celebrating 10 years. And let's hope that the work that you do doesn't become more and more necessary in the future, if you know what I mean.
Appreciate that. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely here.
So, David, thanks again. I'd love to check in with you folks, maybe even on a regular basis, I'll try to keep tabs on, now that I have your website and can kind of check in to see where that's at. So,
Oh, I'd love that. You can have me on anytime.
okay, let's talk again. David, thank you again. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care. All right, folks, there you go. So I think we got to end with the Clash again because there is a great Clash song related to what we've just been talking about. So thank you again to David. I can't express appreciation having grown up with refugees from all around the world since I was four, and understanding a little bit of the reality of living in this country with folks from different nations that have come here for so many different reasons. In my case, a lot of my siblings were fleeing war or economic warfare. Context, folks, context. Here's the Clash. Know your rights. Thank you. right. You do have the right to free speech.
You're not dumb enough to actually try it.
Are you dumb enough to actually try it? Well,
no, you're right.
Gotta try. Gotta try.
These are your rights.
All right, we will be back after the 5 o'clock news in just a minute here. We have more guests coming up from the Columbia Land Conservancy. We have Mallory Schultz and Rebecca Walker, CLC, rocking out, doing the good work here in Columbia County. So stay tuned for that in just a few. And thanks again to David and Devin and Megan. We'll be right back. Hello.
Oh, hello.
How's it going, folks? Oh.
Hi.
Hold on, that's my dog barking.
Oh.
He's not allowed to be on the interview. There he is. There he is. It's okay. He, right there.
Oh, more dog friendly folk here.
Okay,
so
good.
Yeah. Although I kicked mine out of the room, so she's downstairs.
Yeah. Well, he only does it like when he's really tired. And it's okay, buddy. Go lay down. Good boy. And then he gets startled and somebody walking by or something. So welcome. We're gonna go on in like just a minute or so. Sorry it's so last minute. And I did not do a full on what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to find out what we're going to talk about, which is awesome. And last second question for both of you, any musical suggestions or any music that you've been liking lately that I could play at some point after we talk?
Oh man, I'm thinking of something that's like kind of earthy.
Does Pete Payton, is he still around?
He is. He's still really involved in the Taconic Community Forest project we've been working on.
Do they still do that bluegrass band? He does a stand-up bass, right?
He's banjo.
Banjo. Okay.
Yeah, I think they play at the Philmont Pub.
They do for like years now. It's so awesome. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go on in just a second here. Think about that very, very difficult question. It's the toughest question you're going to have.
It's hard.
Think about some music, and then towards the end, we'll recircle back. So we are back on the Monday afternoon show, folks. Thank you so much for listening on this beautiful August Monday afternoon. The weather is gorgeous. I'm just so glad for it. It's like pre-fall. The quality of light's beautiful. The air is nice. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not rainy. So I've been enjoying. Hope you are too. It's a wonderful time if you're in Columbia County to enjoy the many, many places we have to walk and hike. And Columbia Land Conservancy, they've been around since basically, I moved to Columbia County in the late 90s, I believe, but correct me, my guests, if I'm wrong. Maybe it was even earlier than that, but we have right now Mallory Schultz, and we have Rebecca
Walker,
thank you. I was going to get there, but you beat me to it. Thank you. Rebecca Walker and Mallory Schultz from Columbia Land Conservancy on the air right now here on the Monday afternoon show, and I am so glad to have the both of you on. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. And it is. It's an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous day out today.
It is. And we were talking about dogs earlier, and I'm so glad we got this dog. Like, he's about to turn 3. And so for the past 3 years, it's just like he's been forcing me to find all sorts of cool walks and places to go that I would normally wouldn't do, like during the work day, because I can just stop and go, or after. And dogs are helpful for that. But even if you don't have a dog, I feel like the benefits of getting out there and hiking is so, so good. So what do we got going on? What's new and exciting at Columbia Land Conservancy?
Yeah, so I guess to start on the note of trails you can enjoy with your pups, you know, the Columbia Land Conservancy, we care for 10 properties that are all throughout Columbia County with about 40 miles of trail that you can enjoy from dawn till dusk. And all of your four-legged friends are welcome to join you. So that's what we always have going on, 365. But we also have some fantastic upcoming events on the horizon as well.
All right. So 10, you're up to 10. I think I remember when you had the first one, it might have been Greenport Conservation Area. And I was I was living in Hudson at the time, and my buddy ended up renting the house right there next to the farmer, the former farm, and he lived right, and we called it the Greenport Conversation Area, because you could just go there for great conversation. And the trails were just still a work in progress. And I loved going off trail and down across the tracks to like this no man's land that you're probably not supposed to go to. But it just getting in the woods is just a passion of mine, even before I had a dog. But so now you have 10 properties. This is a significant benefit to the public. Mallory, let me start with you. Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, man. I love Hand Hollow, which is in East Chatham, close to New Lebanon area. And ever since I saw a fox early one morning there, I've just been totally enamored with the sites. Like, you have one good animal spotting at one of the sites, and then it just became my top favorite. I love to go and see what I can find there.
I don't know Hand Hollow in East Chatham, so you put that on my list right now. And you had some good fox medicine, so that's a good thing. So what about you, Rebecca, Walter, do you have a favorite?
I do. I live in Valencia, so I think the closest property to me is the Ooms property in Chatham.
Love it.
I feel like it is just classic wide open space, the Columbia County landscape, the rolling hills, and we were talking about dogs earlier. That's where I took my dog on her first walk right after we brought her home. So watching her tiny little legs try to run up the hill will always be a really nice memory of that site for me.
And Rebecca, is there a body of water there, like the pond?
There is. There's Sutherland Pond, which is good for warm water fishing. Folks like to take their kayaks out there. We've seen people do stand-up paddle boarding. Folks can go fishing. There's so many different things you can do at Ooms.
Gorgeous. And the trails kind of wind through the bushes, and you can kind of go around. I took my dog there. This was a while ago. He was a little guy, but we ran around and just like enjoyed the beauty of it because we're so blessed to live where we live in so many ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else has been going on? Mallory, you mentioned events. What kind of events do you have coming up?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that we're the most excited to talk about is that we are hosting Douglas Tallamy on September 4 for a lecture at Columbia Green Community College. And if you're not familiar with Doug Tallamy, he is an acclaimed author, a native plant advocate, and a founder of the Homegrown National Parks Movement. And his focus really is on how everyone can take big and small actions to make change for our local ecosystem and the greater environment. So he's going to come equipped with a lot of tips that folks in Columbia County specifically can use, whether they have just a planter on their front porch or they have 10 acres of land and what they might be able to do with those things.
Sounds awesome. And how did you find Doug Tallamy? I mean, you have a connection. Obviously, he's connected with Columbia Land Conservancy, and the work that he does is in line with what you've been doing now for how long? I feel like it's 20 years, but 25 years, but maybe it's more than that.
We're about to celebrate our 40th birthday in January.
Off. I was so way off. So 40 years of this?
Mm-hmm.
4 years.
That's
like almost as old as me. Wow. Which is old. So doing the good work. I remember when I came on the scene, like Peter Payden, we mentioned him because we were talking about music. So he's been playing at the Philmont Pub with a group and they do bluegrass. He does banjo. And like, I remember he was pretty involved when I was, you know, living over there in Columbia County. And I felt like it was just really getting going back there like 20 years ago. But the early days, I had no idea that you folks were 40. That's awesome.
Yeah. CLC started in 1986, literally a group of volunteers around a kitchen table who got together and were concerned that unplanned development might negatively impact some of the things that we love so much about this place, like the open spaces, the farms, the beautiful waterways. So that was how the Columbia Land Conservancy came about. And then we opened our first public property in 1992. So that'll be Greenport's next birthday. And yeah, since then we've just been growing and doing more and more things. And I think the first time we connected with Doug was during a workshop series 3 or 4 years ago. And it was so popular that we decided we had to have him back. And now we're looking forward to having even more people come out and get to hear what he's got to say about the homegrown national parks.
Homegrown National Park. So mention, Mallory, mention again, it's September 4th at Columbia Green Community College. It's Doug Talamy. Do we have a time on that? And can you mention again what exactly he's going to be covering?
Absolutely. So it's September 4th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Columbia Green Community College. And it is going to be like a lecture style talk. So folks are encouraged to come on in, take a seat, and then we will be handing Doug the mic to give a presentation on how small changes made by many people can have a real measurable impact on local ecosystems. So I think it should be really exciting, and especially if people come equipped with questions or thoughts about specifically what they can do with their land. Doug is an incredible speaker, really engaging.
This is an awesome subject because this goes back to what you were just saying, Rebecca, the founding of CLC back in 1986. It was actually kind of a small act of a few people, like you said, sitting around a kitchen table, like, okay, what can we do? You know, they were looking at development coming in, and I remember I was a 16-year-old, not that long ago, but and worked at Roxbury Farm. It was at when it was on the farm at Miller's Crossing, when it was located there with the Cashins. Cashins are old friends of mine, and they were deeply, deeply caring for preservation, land conservancy, preservation of farmland. But also then there's this new concept of how to have agriculture in conjunction with land conservancy and proper land management. And this was like a beautiful thing that I felt like developed in my, you know, coming out of college, was like people talking together, like, how can we do this together as a and not have like agriculture be the enemy, you know, conventional agriculture, whatever, or be the opposition to land conservancy. So I think that there's what CLC, what I've seen done, and either of you can please comment on this if I'm way off here or not, but is kind of foster the relationship between agriculture and land conservancy in a healthy way moving forward, that allows maybe some cows, but also foxes, you know, working together. So that's something I've just appreciated of, you know, the land conservancy movement is recognizing the agriculture part of it more.
Yeah, and we really see ourselves as partners with farmers. We're not an organization that's going to come in and say, you should do X, Y, and Z on your property. But what we are here for is if folks have questions or are interested in things like, how could my farm support more pollinators? We know who to connect folks to make that happen so that they can implement those practices on their lands and really be a partner for people who are interested in these things.
And obviously it's been succeeding. 40 years later, you're still at it and you're growing and you're obviously still having relationships in Columbia County with folks. So you're doing something right. So that's good.
It's funny you mentioned both Roxbury and the farm at Miller's Crossing. Those are both, Rebecca and I both have CSA shares personally. Those are both of our CSA farms. So
oh,
we both
no
were like,
way.
Yes.
Which, yeah. All right, which one of you is Roxbury? Wait, hold on. Okay, so Rebecca, you're up in Valencia, so you'd be Roxbury Farm, which is now located in Kinderhook. And Mallory, you must be Miller's Crossing.
Opposite.
What? I had it wrong. Darn it. Ugh. So much for
I live up in Troy, and I'm very fortunate that Roxbury has a CSA pickup in Albany about like 10, 15 minutes from my house. So I drive over there on Tuesdays to get my share. But Carrie is one of our board members. So it's just one other way that we love to partner with and hear from and are informed by our partners at local farms.
Heck yeah. We used to load your truck. It was every Tuesday. Tuesday was the Albany delivery.
Yep. That's my pickup.
Still Tuesdays? Oh, what is it with Tuesdays? So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Small world, huh? So Miller's Crossing, the Cashins, old friends of mine. We got Chris and Katie down there holding down mm-hmm. the fort at farm at Miller's Crossing over in Claverick off Roxbury Road, off Route 217. And they've just been crushing it for years there, just really developing that CSA. That's been good for you, Rebecca?
Oh, it's been amazing. I try to rotate around the county and pick a different farm each year because all of them have something a little bit different, and then you get to go see the different farms. But I love going out and doing the You Pick Flowers at Farm at Miller's Crossing. They were Instagram famous this year when they had that big sunflower field off of 217. So getting to go see that was amazing.
They got on the IG. Good job, guys.
Yes.
It's so cool. You get to go into fields and pick flowers on these CSA farms here and come home with a bouquet every week that in a lot of places would cost you like $55 for that mm-hmm. giant vase full. And you might even get two vases or three or whatever. Vase, some say vase, some say vase. So I just, when I started WGXC, 15 years ago or whatever it was, my first show was called The Ag Show, and I did an agriculture show on all the farmers in Columbia County.
Oh, cool.
And so I'd try to get these guys, of course, they're all so busy. So these guys and gals, out in the field, I'd just be like, some of them I like call on their cell phone in the field, I'm like, come on, just give me 5 minutes. And I've had Chris Cash and I've had John Paul on the mm-hmm. radio. And it's fun to like highlight land issues and agriculture here on the radio. But what you folks do is something also just to provide these spaces for the public enjoyment. And I feel like in the age of private property and the age of like people restricting through liability and the fear of like lawsuits and stuff, they don't allow people to walk through their lands. Whereas in like European countries, you can kind of do that. So CLC offers like these spaces that you can just go to and be free and just walk through and don't have to worry about trespassing. And it's just, I think, such a valuable service to the community, what you're doing over there. So thank you.
Thank you. We've thank also you. Been really inspired this year by some of the collaborations that folks have approached us about, different things that they want to do on the land. So earlier this summer, we partnered with an organization called the Berkshire Bird Observatory, which is kind of a tongue twister to say on the radio. But BBO came out and they installed some nets, and they also looked into different bird boxes that they installed. Some of them were at Ooms, some were at Overmountain, which is down in Ankrum. And then they were able to count the birds that they found, and folks would come and try to find out which birds are we going to see this week. And people could look at them up close. I saw a baby kestrel last year with them. It was amazing.
Absolutely. And Mallory, what's your main passion? How did you get involved with these folks? And, what's one of your favorite
The first property that I ever went to was Shore, which is kind of like Red Rock, another East Chatham property that CLC cares for. And it was during the pandemic, and I've always loved going outside. And so my mom, during that season in particular, we were just looking for new places to explore and stumbled upon the Columbia Land Conservancy's website. And so I was a fan long before I started working here. And now my role is in communication. So I get to kind of amplify and hope that other people have a similar story that I had, that they were scrolling the web or they were at a farmer's market and they come across the Columbia Land Conservancy and they get to be exposed to one of us, one of our programs, one of the sites.
So awesome. Glad you're there with them. Anything down the road we should be keeping an eye out for? Do you have other events coming up? Any more talks or anything like that?
Yeah, we have a very full event calendar for the fall, and we do programming year-round that folks who are interested can find at columbialand.org. In particular, I am very excited because we have a partnership for the second year with Nine Pin Cider, where we have two upcoming volunteer apple picking parties where folks will join us to pick wild apples that will then be used for a cider that Nine Pin will brew for us. And then down the line in the spring, we'll have a wild cider cup competition, and we will compete against other local land trusts who have also collected wild apples. And spoiler, we won last year. We are looking to defend the title. So those are on September 24th and October 2nd. We'll be hosting those work parties.
That's awesome. So awesome. And I think you got some stiff competition out there. I interviewed some folks from Left Bank Ciders in Catskill.
Oh, I love Left Bank.
And I think they do a similar thing where they go together and they try to find some wild apples, some like total, you know, wild crafting apple picking type stuff where they put those together and put it into kind of a special batch, which would be actually more accurate, I would think, to the traditional old school, hundreds years old type of cider that you would find. It might be a little more tart. It might be a little, you know. And Nine Pin's a big favorite of mine. I got into cider some years ago, and I'm like, there's so many out there now, I can't keep track, but it's just so fun. What an awesome activity. And it gets people outside picking apples. Picking them off the ground, and yeah, that sounds like an awesome event.
Yeah, we're really excited that we're going to partner with our friends PS21 to pick some of their crab apples this year. We think that those crab apples may have been one of the key ingredients that led us to the win last year. So hopefully we'll
Don't say too much, Rebecca. You're giving away the secrets.
Well, our competition is two other land trusts, the Hudson Taconic Lands, who are up north in Rensselaer, and then Saratoga Plan. So they're making apples from their county, and as such, they will not be coming to Columbia County to get our crab apples.
All right, yeah, don't let them in. And we all benefit because how do we join again? So you have a website. It's columbialand.org, I believe you said, Mallory. And folks can go on there. And if they're interested in actually joining and picking apples with you folks, or some people might just want to be tasting the end results, but how do we get in touch and participate if possible?
Absolutely. So if you go to our website, columbialand.org, right on top of the screen, there's a bar that says events. So you can click right on there and see the whole suite of programs, what we have coming up in the next few months. Also, if you, there'll be a beautiful pop-up when you visit the website that will prompt you to give your email address if you so choose. And that is the best way to stay in touch with us. We send one email at the top of the month with upcoming programs, the partnerships we've been working on, and other kind of goings on the land. And so that is the best way to stay in touch with us, is to visit the columbialand.org website.
Perfect. All right, you heard it, folks. Stay in touch and try some apple cider. The crab apples are the best. That's that. I grew up on a farm. We used to make crab apple jelly.
Ooh.
And you would think crab apple, right? Because like, we would try to eat the crab apples and like you really can't. They're so bitter, so tart. So you can't eat them right off the tree. It's really tough. So we'd end up throwing them at each other. but when, as kids, but when you put them in a jelly and done right, there, I still to this day have yet to find that taste to remind me of my childhood of the crabapple jelly. It's a wonderful tree, wonderful species.
Sounds like you're going to have to join us on September 24th.
I'm coming, Mary, be forewarned. PS21, they're the good folks up there right outside of Chatham off of Route 66, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do some great work up there. I won't throw crab apples at people, I promise.
You might just put a few in your pockets to take home for later for jelly.
My dog likes to play with them like he has this thing about marbles and small little crabapple shaped things where it's just he just loves playing. I'll bring some home for him. Anything else we're missing? What else do we got to cover here?
I think the other thing that I would mention events wise is that October 22nd we will be having another event where we talk about the countywide conservation plan, which is a process CLC and a group of partners have been going through for about a little over a year now to try to identify what are the most important places in Columbia County that should be conserved moving forward, where are there really sensitive habitats, where are there important streams. And at that event on the 22nd, which will be virtual, so folks, if they want to sign up just to get a recording afterwards, even if you can't make it, that's fine. We'll be hearing from the consultants we've been working with about what they've found during the process and what CLC should be working on for the next 40 years and beyond.
Love it. Do you get the sense, either of you can respond, that there is encroaching development coming on? Because 20 years ago, the work of CLC was more, it was almost in a response to sort of not well thought out development plans in Columbia County, and specifically whether it's the town wanting to expand certain things or whether it's, you know, homes. And I felt like that kind of took a little bit of a back seat with the danger of development in our county. And I could be way off here. But is that something that you're looking at seriously of the need to protect in response to this? We're seeing gentrification of places like Hudson and little towns, mm-hmm. and they're just, you know, fixing up old homes and making things really expensive, which has its own issues or whatever. But the actual taking over of sensitive habitats, sensitive lands, and wanting to build stupid things on them, is that a real danger? Or has that sort of subsided a little bit, in your opinion?
I think maybe the nature of it has changed a bit since CLC began, because now what we're looking at is not so much we should try to protect every single piece of land with a permanent legal tool and conserve it, but what we're focused on more is, okay, here are these really important pathways for wildlife as the climate changes, that if this big block of forest has a house put in the middle of it, then it's going to negatively impact all the animals that depend on that forest. So I'd say this is about a more targeted approach, a more proactive approach to conservation, and really working with our partners in the towns and the villages to help them implement their conservation visions too. That's another big part of it is, again, CLC being, like I mentioned with the farmers, that partner who's there to offer advice and help connect you with experts as you're, if you have questions about conservation.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. No major battles that you're engaged in right now. I mean, these things do happen. I remember the cash, and they ended up buying a piece of property behind the property because the town wanted to build this crazy garage with like salt piles and everything. And the way the water, the ecosystem of the water and coming down the hill and affecting the farmland and the natural, it was just a bad idea. Sometimes towns or development companies or, you know, real estate moguls, they don't have the best planning groups that look at whole ecosystems. And so I think it's important to keep those things in check.
Yeah. And we're hoping that by having had this years long conversation about conservation, that hopefully things don't have to be adversarial because we're all in relationship with each other and we're all going to work together towards some common goals. And
I so love your optimism.
I try. I will say, though, I don't think that the threat of development is gone. I think we saw during the pandemic, especially, what a desirable place Columbia County is to live. One of the things that this conservation plan is looking at too is things like, okay, we need more housing in Columbia County. Where are the places where that housing should go? Instead of just saying blanket, don't develop anything. It's more, here are good places to put things, because I don't think that challenge is going to go away.
Totally. And yeah, you're right about that, because even though that might not be building new houses, we have it here in Berkshire County where during the pandemic, like we have all these second homes and weekender and summer homes, and people were coming up from like Manhattan and Connecticut and some from Boston. They were like, we want to live here full time now. It's the pandemic. We're working from home. We don't want to be in the city. And now we need a deck. Now we need to remodel our bathroom. And I'm in the building trade, so like I saw this like directly, all this. And some of it was building new homes. But the impact that that has, I mean, I think needs to be looked at. And one thing I noticed specifically in our neighborhoods here in Berkshire County is the activity of the bears. We've been seeing bears coming up. I mean, I live right up Kirk Street in Housatonic. Bear just walking right on up. Yep, we're coming in, doing our rounds here, guys. Don't mind me. And people are like, oh, the bears are getting more populated and the bears are coming into our neighborhoods more. It's like, no, they are getting pushed out of their natural habitats by more population in the rural areas here in Berkshire County. And they're making themselves known in more town areas. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, just a small little example along the lines of what you're talking about there. We need to look at the whole system, the whole impact. And I really appreciate that you guys are working together with the community to look at all of this stuff. It's good.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a lot more bears, but we do see a lot of deer impact in Columbia County. I think that's one of the other big challenges that we're facing is this overpopulation of deer. So
it's ridiculous.
It's almost like we need more bears to come and eat them.
No, you need to reintroduce the wolf into Columbia County for those deer. Because I swear to you come from Berkshire and you go to, it's like, you don't see a lot of deer in Berkshire every now and then. And then you go over, like go to Philmont or I go to Hudson. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot Columbia County, the land of deer. They're just hanging out and like packed. tracks. So many. Pretty amazing. So, yeah, it's good to know about what those behaviors are all about, and it involves us. We're all interrelated. This is important stuff. But I appreciate you both coming on here, Mallory, Rebecca. It's great to have you on. I love the work that you both do.
Thanks.
I'm great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Anything else? Do you have? You want to plug another event before we go? Or what do you think? Anything else we missed?
I think, Rebecca, if you maybe want to do a quick plug of Go Coco.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's do the Go Coco. Right.
So you mentioned at the beginning of the show all of the great CLC properties, and we love our CLC properties. There are also things that maybe you want to do that you can't do at the CLC sites, like go swimming. So a couple of years ago, we got a grant from the Land Trust Alliance to create an online guide to help you find your next favorite place. And the website is letsgococo.org. And folks can go online. They can look at a map and pick different places they want to go. You can search by activities like walking your dog, fishing, sledding, having a picnic. And then you can also search by amenities. So if you're looking for a place that's got a restroom or a pavilion or access to a sports field or an ADA accessible trail, you can just kind of click and filter as your heart desires and find the perfect place for what you're trying to do. Because what we noticed while we were putting this together was Columbia County has a lot of fabulous places to go, but it can be hard to find information about them online. So this hopefully is a one-stop shop for finding those different spots.
And the best solution is just to get there and go to the spots.
Yeah.
And I got, yeah, I feel like I'm in a deficit. I feel like I've only been to 5 out of your 10. And I have a goal to go to all 10.
Well, let us know how it goes.
I will. We should check back in again. Like, you guys have been great. And I've always appreciated, you know, the work you do. I mean, just, you drive by a rural back road, and then all of a sudden you see this little sign, Columbia Land Conservancy. It's like, oh my God, that's a new one. There's a little parking. Pull over.
Well, and sneak peek, you heard it here first. We are planning to open 2 more properties next year to celebrate our 40th birthday.
No way.
So,
11 and 12 are coming. Mm-hmm. Look out, people. Look out. It's great. Absolutely great. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of acres being managed, maintained, and accessible and open for people by Columbia Land Conservancy. So thank you again. Should we close it out, or do we have anything else?
No, I just think one final plug that you can learn more, register for some of these great events that we talked about at columbialand.org.
And you can also follow us on Instagram or be our friend on Facebook.
There you go. Well, I did pull up a song. We talked about songs. I don't know if anyone has any last minute request, but we talked about apples, and a lot of the apple pickers in Columbia County traditionally, historically, have been, a lot of them for whatever reason, have been from Jamaica. And I don't know why that is, but, and I suspect that that's still the case for some, a lot of these orchards in Livingston and Germantown and all over. So there's awesome. There's definitely some good music coming out of Jamaica. We might close out with one of that. But any last minute music requests before we say goodbye?
No, go ahead.
No.
let's hear the jams from Jamaica. Let's do it.
I let you off easy this time, Mallory. Next time I'm going to make you pick something.
All right, deal.
Okay. And Rebecca?
I would say around this time of year, when I am picking vegetables in my garden, I do often find myself singing the song Look at Them Beans by Johnny Cash.
Oh, man.
If you know that one.
All right. We got to play it. We got to play it. So we'll pull that one up if we can find it in a bit. And I just, again, thank you for joining the Monday Afternoon Show. Both you, Rebecca, Mallory, Columbia Land Conservancy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Let's do it again.
Sure.
Good.
All right. So here is the band Culture coming out of Jamaica. This is going up particularly to all the folks working hard in the fields and the apple orchards of Columbia County. Here's Work on Natty from 2000, 25 years ago. Thanks again.
A fact that I was born, grown, and also schooled in this ticklish ghetto. And no one can push I around, not you know, not the dreadlocks, no, for I know the roots. People got to work in the burning sun. And when we get our pay, we just can't take home none. But by the sweat of our brows, we shall all eat bread. So work on, naughty work on, yeah. Naughty work on, yeah, till Jah Jah come. So work on, naughty work on, yeah. Naughty work on, yeah. For some time it's hard, 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 so hard. So very hard, my friend, to get a job. When you work and get paid and walk on the streets, I say, gunmen, they all want to shoot you down. And that brings a black white. People got to work in the burning sun. And when we get our pay, we just can't take home none. But by the sweat of our brows, we shall all eat bread. So work on, not the work on, yeah. Not the work on, yeah, till Jah Jah come. Work on, work on, yeah. Till Jah Jah come. Not you never get, never get weary. No, yeah. Never yet, never yet. Jah know.
This time last year, there sure was a lot of sad faces around this old house. Our papa died without fulfilling his life's dream of producing one of the best crops in Grimes County. No, papa died with that dream still in his head, a desire in his heart, a promise on his lips, calluses on both hands and $2 in his pocket. Papa didn't live long enough to see his dream come true, so he died from too much work, a broken spirit, I guess, but a promise to our mama that if it was the last thing he'd ever do, he'd live long enough to see just one good crop come through. But you see, we can't plan on things without first talking to God, because we don't know his plans. And if we don't include him, my friends, the way can get mighty hard. They say that every time a good and righteous person is buried in God's good earth, it's just fertilizer for the soil. And I guess there must be some truth to that, whether we believe it or not. I just wish that Papa was here right now so that he could see this good crop that we finally got. Hey, look at them beans. And look at that corn. And I bet them watermelons must be 3 feet long. Man, look at them tomatoes. And look at them peas. Well, I know if Papa was here right now, he'd sure be pleased. And Papa would sure be proud of his children, too. My brother's famous now. Got his own show on the road, traveling in a customized bus imported from Europe. That boy always did love music, and he loves to travel. I got a sister that's got a good job in a beauty shop, making money, making other people look good. Ain't nobody here at the house now but me and Mama. And Mama, she's getting weaker and she's getting older every day. And she talks often about joining Papa in his heavenly home. Lord, that woman sure did love that man. She worked beside Papa for 40-some-odd years, trying to produce a good crop and never could grow a single bean. But I just wish that Papa was here right now to see this good crop that we finally got. Man, look at them beans. And look at that corn. And I bet them watermelons must be 3 feet long. Man, look at them tomatoes. And just look at them peas. Yes, I know if Papa was here right now, he'd sure be pleased. And Papa, if you can hear me, look at them beans.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino, yo soy el quiebraley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
The only image that keeps leaping to my mind, it's a mouse trap. You have these famished, starving people. You promise them a little cheese. They're like the showers in Auschwitz. You promise them a little cheese, and then when you get there, the Israeli army shoots them.
Ya Allah.
Gleefully. You know, people don't want to hear that. But remember what the opposition leader in Israel said.
המשימה שלנו היא לוודא שישראל תישאר מדינה שפויה, שלא הורגת ילדים, לא כתחביב ולא כמדיניות.
He said our soldiers are killing children as a hobby. Then there was the poll about 3 weeks ago, which found that half of Israelis support genocide in Gaza. The question was, do you believe that when Israeli soldiers conquer a city, they should kill everybody in the city? That was the question. Not complicated, we don't need a dictionary. 47% of Israeli Jews said yes. It was pure sadism. You know, we could sit here, talk about it, but really, it would require a novelist, to capture the sadism of this. I can't find the word monstrous, pathological. It's very hard to capture it. The only
Norman Finkelstein. Thanks for the words. Catch you all next week. Karen signing off for the Monday afternoon show. Thanks for listening. This is Shuwal. Folklore. Yes, Shuwal folklore. Allah the Lord, now Allah the Lord. Thank you. Thanks. Ism Allah hula wa hawaliya. What? Name of God around her. Ya mo ya mo. Uleki leki. Leki hayye. I'm ta'amil heke. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
your voice.